I'm slightly hyper this morning, and I've just given out BBC Radio 5's telephone number. That's the problems with double jobbing. 03030 80 55 55 is our number this morning. Don't be ringing or Nicky Campbell will be thinking, what on earth is going on? 03030 80 55 55. An incredible result. That it's a watershed moment for Northern Ireland politics. Is Naomi Long exaggerating? The Alliance leader, her party's result in last week's local government elections has put a big smile on her face. She's with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. But the DUP and Sinn Féin, they're still the two biggest parties.
Yes, they are. And I mean, nobody's taken anything away from that. But I think they've also had to face some uncomfortable truths as a result of the elections, because neither did as well as they would have hoped. Both of them, I think, have lessons to learn from not just the pattern of the Alliance vote, but the growth of the centre ground generally in terms of the Green Party and others. And also, I think there are issues with how people voted when it came to individual candidates, that they backed those who were progressive and those who wanted to see the Assembly restored. And so I think that's really the wider message from the election, that people want to see an Assembly up and running, that they want to see Northern Ireland move forward progressively. And I think we've got to deliver those. And we have an opportunity. We'll be meeting this afternoon at Stormont House. And I want to see us actually get our shoulder to the wheel and get these things resolved so we can get back to doing our job.
You saw your vote increase from 6.7 to 11.5%. That is a good result. There's no one can take that away from you. The DUP, in terms of first preference vote, saw a marginal increase to 24.1%. Sinn Féin, 23.2%, just down slightly on its 2014 results. If there is this move to the centre ground, where do you think, what type of base do you think that's coming from?
Well, I can only go by what I have heard, not just before the election, Stephen, but also people who have contacted me since. I have had letters from people who were first-time Alliance voters. Not first-time voters necessarily, but first-time Alliance voters. Some of them had never voted before. We're not talking just young people. We're talking about people who just had not bothered to use their vote because they didn't see the point. But they felt that if they voted this time, we were offering something different and that there would be some change. And they have delivered some change, because instead of being on 7 local councils, we're now on 10 out of 11 local councils. The other group of people who have contacted me are people who have voted their whole lives for other parties and decided on this occasion that they wanted to change because they were fed up with the state of politics and they wanted to send a message and they wanted things to change. But they didn't just want to send any message. It wasn't just a protest vote. They said that they voted for us because they felt that we were offering something positive, that we were offering solutions to problems, not just more problems. And I think that to me is what politics should be about. We saw the local government elections happening across England last week as well. We saw massive shifts away from some parties towards others. That's how politics should work. People should feel when they come out and cast their vote that it can really make a difference. And the proof of that, I mean, we actually lost out in one seat by 1.08 of a vote. So that's what was the difference between winning the seat and being the runner-up. Now, if people don't realise how powerful their vote is, there's an example of where one more person could have made a complete transformation.
What are you going to be able to bring to these talks today? Like, what difference are you going to be able to make, if any, from the failures in the past to get these big parties to agree with each other? What are you going to be saying?
I think if either had romped home and made all the gains that they had hoped for, they would be coming in cock-a-hoop, and it would be very difficult to see how they would actually be able to do the hard work that needs to be done. As it happens, I think both have been given food for thought in the elections. That's not a bad thing. But also, we have gone in with a stronger mandate to be able to say, look, there are solutions here. And there are two things that the tension here between the parties has been very clear for some time. Sinn Féin are saying very clearly, we want a rights-based society. We want to see people from the LGBT community. We want to see women, want to see Irish language speakers being given their rights and see those respected. And I don't disagree. I think that those things are important. And the flip side of it is that the DUP are saying, well, that's all very well, but we want to see the Assembly working. By voting for us, what people are saying is, actually, we want both. So you've got to find a way of delivering those rights on the Assembly. You can't have a standoff that denies us ministers to deal with health, education, and all of the other things that really matter. People want to see that done, but they want us to come together and actually make progress. And that's not just how they voted for Alliance. You look at the individual candidates, Tom Smith, they voted for, and he kept his seat in North Down and Ards. That was someone who was put, who was forced out of the DUP, essentially, because he voted to light up a building for Pride. Now, he won a seat. The people are saying, look, we don't disagree with his unionism. We don't disagree with his position and politically, but we want to see progressive people who want to include people across the community. And I think that's positive, Stephen. And I think that, yes, it will be difficult, but we have got potential solutions. And I think if we really make the effort this time, we can get something done.
You mentioned the DUP there, and there's quite a lot of chatter that they have, that that in terms of their public stance on gay issues and gay people, they've turned the corner. They've done it. So they've got the their openly gay candidate now. If you hear rhetoric, it's not a candidate anymore, it's actually a councillor. If you hear what they're saying about gay issues now, the language has changed. They've done it. Can you see that?
Well, I'm never going to dismiss the importance of what has happened. But
so what do you think has happened? Why don't you put, let's hear your own words. What do you think has happened?
I think there are two things. I think, first of all, we've got to give recognition to Alison Bennington. She's not just a gay councillor. She's a DUP councillor because she is a member of that party. Now, a lot of people will find that very difficult to reconcile with the positions that the party has taken to date. But she made the decision to stand, and she was successful. There's a message there for the DUP that this is not a high-risk strategy. This is not an unusual thing. Her sexuality shouldn't be an issue. It should be her ability to represent the community. And I believe firmly that is why people voted for her, because they don't, they're not interested in those things. People are more interested in, can you deliver for us? Will you put the work in? And so I think that's the first message, is that people are less obsessed with this than the internal machinations in the DUP. But the second thing is, it does present them with a challenge, because it's okay to have a gay candidate, an openly gay candidate, and an openly gay councillor. But unless you're willing to follow that up and show that you're willing to put your votes behind giving people rights, giving people opportunities in exactly the same way as everyone else, then it's not going to be anything more significant.
Well, they have. Arlene Foster has said that the DUP's position on gay marriage has not changed.
She has said that. But the point is, how do you reconcile that with having somebody in the party who is in a relationship and standing for the party? You can't treat one of your own members differently. Now, I'm not suggesting...
Well, presumably presumably Alan's reconciled it, and that's why that's why she's in the party.
Yes, but it's not going to be a sea change within the community as a whole. That's my point. I think if the DUP are going to make those steps towards trying to bridge the gap that has been there with the LGBT community, it's going to have to involve more substance than just one councillor. So what I'm saying is, I think there is an opportunity here. I think it's a significant one. But how they handle, for example, Jim Wales being highly critical of his new elected colleague, how they handle that, I think will be very telling in terms of how serious people take this to be.
But you don't believe in people within parties being able to express their views openly without getting punished? You think they should be punished every time?
Is
that what you do to dissenters within your party?
Well, I'll be very clear. If any member of my party spoke in the kind of disparaging terms about another party colleague, and did so as openly and brazenly as Jim did, and on the basis of nothing but their sexuality or any other inherent characteristic in them, they would not be in the party any longer. And that wouldn't just be because of me. That would be how the party would want it to be. Because at the end of the day, you're part of a team. And if you can't respect other members of the team, and if you are openly criticising somebody, not for what they've done, but for who they are, then I think it's right that the party should take action. And how the party deals with that is a matter for the DUP. But obviously people will want to know how they're going to react to that. That will be important. And then how they deal with the issues. I mean, I don't expect that they will skip up the hill this morning and say, we're ready to vote for equal marriage. But I've always been clear that they don't need to vote for equal marriage to happen. They simply need to be able to allow the rest of the Assembly to do so without deploying a petition of concern. And the easiest way for them to do that, without being taunted by a petition of concern by others who would want to make life more difficult for them, is to get that issue resolved. And that's the solution we're presenting to them, is get it reformed and then let's get on and get back and deliver.
I've also heard some commentators suggest that what's happening here is this is the DUP softening its position on how it talks to gay people in the community, and let's see what Sinn Féin might do in return in terms of the Irish language. I wonder, is this all being prepared to try to get momentum within the talks, to try to get a deal across the line?
Well, at the end of the day, I think that again dismisses the local factors. I mean, I think that the reason that Alison is a councillor is because people respect her locally and think that she will work hard for them. So I don't think it's as simple as saying this is some mad strategy that's been implemented and it's all a big scheme. I think she was selected and elected because she will be a good councillor. So I think you've got to give credit where it's due there. But it does present an opportunity. It does present the chance for people to take slightly different positions. Nobody's going to change the position overnight, and I'm certainly not going to try and nail people's feet to the floor where they were 2 years ago, 18 months ago, even 6 months ago. What I want to see is the Assembly up and running, and if I can see people making progress, if people are open to ideas that they rejected 6 months ago, then I'm not going to be going and criticising them for changing their position, because if we don't change our positions, we're not going to get this sorted. What I want to see is results out of all of this. We've had a good election, Stephen, and obviously I am absolutely thrilled. We've got some fantastic councillors elected, and when the councils get up and running in the new format, I think people will see what Voting Alliance has been able to deliver for them. But my job this afternoon is to let them see what Alliance can deliver for them at the Assembly, and that's the same job that Arlene and Michelle and Colm and Robin are going to be up there doing.
Well, you mentioned Colm. Colm's with us this morning as well, the SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood. What can you bring into those talks this afternoon, Colm, that's anything different? How can people in Northern Ireland feel a sense of hope that they're going to get a local government back again with anything you're going to bring to the table?
Well, look, I think we, like Naomi, have tried to be constructive. We both agree that the petition of concern is the real block to getting anything done. And I don't want to force anybody to vote for things that they can't vote for. But I do want to unblock those issues, and the way to do it is to reform the petition of concern. If people won't agree to reform the petition of concern, we've said that it should be suspended until it is reformed for the period of this Assembly to get us back in the door. Because what I'm hearing, and I'm sure every other politician who's been canvassing is hearing, is that people want Stormont back together. Yes, they have very strong views on all of these issues, and you know they will still vote in large numbers for the DUP and Sinn Féin, but they are telling us, and I hope that the rest of the politicians have heard, that they want us to get back to work. They want us to deal with the crisis in the health service and the fact that our education system has been starved of funds, the fact that Brexit's coming at us, and we've nobody in position. So that's what I've heard, and that's what I will be committing to try to resolve. We always try to find solutions to problems. That's what we've been proposing. I just hope now that people in the DUP and Sinn Féin in particular are now more open to listening to ideas for unblocking this deadlock.
Why would they listen to your party? You go into those talks in a weakened state. You lost 7 seats.
No, hold on now. We had 58 seats and now we have 59. That, from my maths, and I'm not a mathematician, that's plus one. So we have had a good election. There are some areas where we need to improve, but where we have instigated a proper renewal process, run good new candidates, we've picked up seats where we never had seats. And of course, in many places, we were running against former SDLP councillors and all of that. So that made it difficult for us in some
places.
Is
there anything new you can bring to these talks, Colm?
Well, I, you know, there's there, the problem is the problem. The problem hasn't changed in the last 2.5 years.
But if it couldn't get across the line last time, why would you be optimistic this time? Like, what is going to be new?
Stephen, they didn't try. This is the point. They didn't try to deal with the issue that was...
Well, they nearly had a deal, didn't they?
Well,
that's how hard they tried.
Nearly never won the war. And I think there has been a mistake made in the approach. And we've pointed this out, as Naomi, a number of times. If we don't deal with the petition of concern, then we are going to be stuck again. You can cobble together some deal, but it will fall apart unless we deal with the fact that we have a veto in that assembly that was supposed to be designed to protect people's rights, but it is being deployed to abuse people's rights. That's a mistake that has been made, and it's an easy enough solution. Every deal that we ever had, everybody won a bit and everybody lost a bit. The idea that we're going to get a deal where one side wins everything and the other loses everything, it's just not realistic.
Yeah, but how could
they... We have to stop trying to get a pound of flesh from our opponents.
But Colm...
Remember, we have to come together again. That is what people are telling
us. Sinn Féin
That's what people need to hear.
If Sinn Féin is going to insist on an Irish Language Act, how could the DUP ever sell that to its electorate?
Well, I'm not saying they should. This is the point.
You don't think they should?
To try to get an Irish Language Act agreed up front has not worked. It just has not worked. And I'm not sure it will work. That's why I say if we reform the petition of concern or suspend it before it's reformed, that allows us to get back into government. It allows for private members' legislation to come forward around marriage equality and Irish Language Act that's sensible. All of those things can be done. If the petition of concern is not there as a blocking mechanism. It'll be about attracting as much support as can be got across the Assembly floor. Remember, there are no majorities anymore in that Assembly. There's an opportunity now to work together across party lines to develop legislation that works
everybody. I don't understand your logic. Your logic seems to be that the DUP should promise to give up using the petition of concern, and every one of its voters would know that that would mean that they would be promising not to block the Irish Language Act.
But sure, it was the DUP who proposed getting rid of the petition of concern altogether. So why would they oppose reforming it to use it properly? So they're on public record as saying that they wanted to get rid of the petition of concern. I mean, that's been an offer made for almost 2 years. So why would they have a difficulty in reforming
and making it so
that we can use it properly?
Naomi, no matter what type of dressing there is put around these talks, and no doubt we'll start to hear some commentary after the talks have been going a while, that it's looking good, it's looking optimistic. Here's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to the Irish Language Act, isn't it? And how is the DUP going to sell that?
Well, at the end of the day, Stephen, there are a few people, I think, who can make a big contribution to it, and I think you're one of them. Because I think in the run-up to the last deal, there was a lot of fear-mongering around what might be in a deal. And actually, when the draft agreement came out, and we were all able to look at it...
It's my fault, is it?
It was quite light touch. It wasn't your fault, Stephen, of course not. But people used the platform to get really false messages out. And I think the key this time is not a challenge to you, but it's an opportunity, because the DUP in the previous round of talks didn't speak for themselves.
Well, they don't speak in this programme at all. They boycotted this programme ever since. As a journalist, I dared to cover RHI. That story they were telling me was a non-story. Don't start me.
Absolutely. But
and by the way, a wee message, just while I have the opportunity, a wee message to the DUP. They can boycott me for the rest of my life. See, the next time there's a story like RHI, I'll be bringing it to the public's attention, whether they like it or not, because my job isn't to serve them, it's to serve the public. Full stop, end off.
And the other side of it, Stephen, is that by not taking the opportunity to reach your audience, it allows others who don't have who don't know what's going on in the talks to make up all sorts of fantasy stories, because I was hearing all sorts of things were going to be in an Irish Language Act that were never going to be there. I think everybody recognises if there is going to be an Irish Language Act, it's going to have to start small. It's going to have to be something simple. It's not going to be something that's going to absorb a huge amount of money, because we know we don't have a huge amount of money because we have all the other pressures. But it can be something about recognition and respect. And there are lots of other things that we can do that will allow promotion of the language, and hopefully encourage people to see it not as something divisive, but it's something that is shared, that we can actually enjoy as a society together, because it's part of our history and our heritage right across the community. So what we need to look at is how we get that done in a way that doesn't mean it's a climb down from the DUP, that doesn't mean it's a climb down from Sinn Féin.
But they've backed themselves into the corner. It's going to have to be a climb down by either Sinn Féin or the DUP, because that's where they've put themselves.
No, it doesn't.
Sinn Féin are insisting on it, and the DUP are saying never.
It doesn't have to be a climb down, because people like Colm and myself and Robin have the capacity to create space where people can move. That is the political skill. It's only a climb down if you use that kind of language. Why not, instead of calling it a climb down, call it a positive resolution? You see, that's what I'm talking about.
You can call it what you like, but one side is going to have to give up in their red line column, right?
No, there shouldn't be red lines.
But there are red lines.
It's about delivery, Stephen. And the red line the public has set is get us an assembly and make it a progressive one that delivers.
Arlene Foster, Colm, has said publicly, she's made a solemn promise to the public that there will not be a standalone Irish Language Act. Full stop. Sinn Féin have said they will not go back into government without an Irish Language Act. So you can dress this up and say, we shouldn't call it a climb down, but one of the two of them are going to have to give in.
Well, politics is the art of the possible, and it's a big compromise. And we live in a place where you have to compromise every single day. I mean, we all know that. That's what power sharing is. But that's why we have proposed, and Alliance have proposed, that we need to deal with the petition of concern. Then nobody has to climb down. All you have is the mechanism that stops these things getting done is removed or reformed to allow for a proper debate, committee stages, debates on the floor, all of those things, where we deal with those issues in the Assembly. That's what the Assembly was created to do. That's what politics is about. That's what politicians are supposed to do. They're supposed to argue and amend and debate, listen to evidence, come up with the best possible solutions to legislation right across the board. And while we're not doing that, the health service is in trouble. Teachers are going to be made redundant. Brexit's happening. So whilst we can debate in private rooms about what an Irish language act should look like, we're stopping delivering for people on the issues that they care about. And that's what I'm hearing on the doorsteps. That's what people are telling me. And I have no doubt that's what they've told everybody else as well. So, you know, the standoff, this is the point that I think people need to understand. The standoff has not delivered an Irish Language Act. The standoff has not delivered marriage equality. Maybe it's time to try something else, because standing outside, shouting at each other through microphones isn't working. It hasn't worked. And it is just embarrassing now at this stage that we can't get to a point where we have a government to deal with those issues. Those issues have not been dealt with by not having a government.
Naomi, before you go this morning, Robin Swan, of course, has announced that there will be disciplinary action now taken by his party against the veteran politician, councillor, Jim Wells was in my mind there. I can remember his surname. Jim Rogers, who has been in contact with the Nolan Show this morning to say that he is currently abroad. What do you think should happen to Jim Rogers? This is over the leaflet that he distributed about your party.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not for me to dictate what the Ulster Unionist Party does by way of disciplinary action. They have their own internal processes, as does every party. But I want to acknowledge publicly that when Robin and I met at the County Centre in Omagh, we spoke. I believe, Robin, that it was not something that he sanctioned. He was apologetic and said that it wasn't something he would ever sanction. I respect him for that. So as far as I'm concerned, I mean, there's no issue between me and the Ulster Unionist Party.
The Unionist Party didn't make this announcement before the election, did it?
No, they didn't. And, of course, that is always a source of disappointment. But at the end of the day, Stephen, I respect Robin. I acknowledge the fact that he apologised for what had happened. And
do you respect Jim Rogers? He's been around a long time. He's done a lot of good in this country, has he not?
I respect what Robin said to me at the County Centre on Saturday. I respect the fact that leadership is not an easy road, and it can be very difficult if people do something that you find hard to stomach if your own colleagues in the middle of the whirlwind of an election campaign.
What did Robin say to you?
He just said that it was not something that he would have sanctioned, that he was not aware that it was on the leaflet. And I believe him, and he apologised. He said that he was sorry it had gone out and that it wasn't the message that the party officially would have endorsed. And at the end of the day, I mean, they will have a whole lot of reflection to do after the election, because whatever for the other parties, it was a bad election, in particularly in Greater Belfast for the Ulster Unionists. And they need to look at the approach they've taken to politics here, because where they're seen as a more moderate alternative to the DUP, they polled well. Where they are seen to be, in some cases, to the right of the DUP, they polled badly. So that's another message. But look, they'll reflect on that, hopefully, over the next...
And I noticed, Naomi, you ducked the question. Do you acknowledge that Jim Rogers has done a lot of good? He's been around a long time. Do you have a good relationship with him or not?
Well, he's been around a long time, but Stephen, it's very hard to have respect for someone who would put that in a leaflet about my colleagues, I have to say. Jim was involved in previous leaflets that whipped up tensions around flags. And it was.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, and he's not here to defend himself this morning.
I can state it categorically, because he's admitted it publicly, that he was involved in the DUP-UUP leaflet that went out, and that's on record. It was the Belfast group of councillors who did it. So, you know, that went unnoticed because the DUP took all the heat, but he was involved in that. So it wasn't as though he wasn't aware.
They would deny any deliberate whipping up of tension.
Of course he would, but it wasn't at the end of the day. You can't, having seen that happen, be unaware of the potential implications of using the kind of language.
Do you think the leaflet actually helped you?
Did the leaflet help me? No, I don't think we needed that kind of help. I think we were out there selling a positive message, Stephen.
But do you think people rallied against that leaflet? Do you think that's what
went on? There was certainly anger. I mean, when we were out canvassing, when we were standing at polling stations, people were coming up to us and saying that they thought the leaflet was a disgrace. But I don't know if those people were ever intended to vote Ulster Unionist or not.
And so Jim Rogers, as I said, Naomi, Jim Rogers is abroad at the moment. We were talking to him this morning. Would you call on him to apologise? Would that make any difference?
Of course it would make a difference, because anyone can get it wrong. And, you know, if at any time Jim wants to apologise, I'm no doubt whatsoever that apology would be well received. Our councillors who were affected by it directly have already spoken to him at the council centre and said, look, we need to find a way to work together, because at the end of the day, elections are elections, but we have a job to do. And our councillors take that responsibility hugely seriously. They want to be able to work with all of the councillors as far as is possible to deliver for all of the people in the city. That's what the job entails. That's what politics is about. And look, they're not going to be churlish if he apologises, but he hasn't. He has defended his position and has said the leaflet is justified. And so until he does, I think, acknowledge that whatever his intention may have been, the choice of words and language that he used was inappropriate, then there's really not much more can be done. But we'll be getting on with our job. And I, as I say, I respect the fact that Robin apologised, because at the end of the day in politics, people are always calling for apologies and then they get them and they're churlish about it. I'm not going to be churlish about it. I'm accepting the apology and moving on. And it's up to Jim what he decides to do.
Okay.